Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Fires up a three and he hits it with a foul. KPJ put him on skates and it sticks the three with a chance at a four-point play.
Butts Talk starts now.
145 to 124. The Atlanta Hawks are about to take a series from the Bucks.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Bucks Weekly on the air here for this final day of March. As you heard, Bucks team that's looking to snap a four-game losing streak. They did get a little bit of good news tonight as we look at the upcoming schedule for this team. And for that matter, some good news last night as well, coming out of that Phoenix Suns game, since that is your next opponent. I think the big thing here is it remains a favorable schedule that the Bucks have. After that loss to the Hawks last night, I know there was a lot of fretting and a lot of people wondering too, are the Bucks going to drop to the play-in tournament? The numbers are still very heavily on your side that you're going to remain in the top six, but that four seed is getting further and further away. And with that comes home court advantage. You're four games up on the Atlanta Hawks, who are currently the seventh seed, so four games out of the play-in tournament. But even without the tiebreaker, four games is still a lot to make up in eight games, a four-game difference. You know, if the Bucks win just three games that we've gotten to this point, if you go 3-5 in your final eight games of the season here, it's not a lock. It doesn't cinch it by the numbers here, but it goes a long way in saying, okay, we go 3-5. The Hawks got to go 7-1 to tie the Bucks and then get out of the play-in tournament. So just win games is the important part for this team now. And I mentioned they got some good news in terms of their schedule. This weekend, you have your first of two games against the New Orleans Pelicans. Sunday night in New Orleans. It's night two of a back-to-back, but this was the game that was supposed to be played at the end of January, and when the makeup date was announced, I know I said it a couple of times, you felt very fortunate and thought, you know, that's a good thing that this game is pushed to the end of the season, in the final week of the regular season for the Bucks, because Pelicans team that was dealing with a ton of injuries. And you wondered, okay, at what point do they shut guys down? Brandon Ingram has since been traded, hasn't returned to the floor, but he's a member of the Toronto Raptors. And the other shoe dropped today is Shams Charania of ESPN announcing the Pelicans have shut down Zion Williamson for the remainder of the season. And while the Pelicans have not been playing good basketball, I think you could term it as, Zion Williamson had. You were starting to see more and more flashes from Zion. Now, the Pelicans did win last night. And in that game, there was no Zion Williamson. But you look at the starting five for this Pelicans team. Bruce Brown, Kelly Olynyk, Yves Missi, the rookie big man out of Baylor, Antonio Reeves, and Jose Alvarado. That's the starting five for the New Orleans Pelicans, who right now have the second worst record in the Western Conference and overall the fourth worst record in the league. So they're trying to get into that bottom three. They're not too far behind the Charlotte Hornets. It's too much to catch the Utah Jazz. It's really coming down to the Wizards and the Jazz for who's going to have the best chance at winning the lottery to get that number one pick. But shutting down Zion Williamson is something that, in theory, should bode well for this Bucks team. That at this point, you know, 4-9 in your last 13 games, the defense has certainly been an issue in this four-game losing streak that the Bucks is currently fighting through. You just have to take advantage of every opportunity you get. And it starts tomorrow with a Phoenix Suns team that right now is two games out of the play-in tournament in the Western Conference. So there is certainly an elevated sense of urgency for that Suns team looking to get back into that mix and fighting for their playoff lives right now. But they're going to be playing that game without Kevin Durant, who went down with an ankle sprain in last night's loss to the Houston Rockets. And we don't know the severity, what grade of a sprain it is for Kevin Durant. All we know is he is going to miss that game tomorrow. Mike Budenholzer spoke with reporters after the game, which I think kind of speaks to just how severe that injury was, that they knew in the moment he's not going to make the trip with us, or at least start of the trip. So it sounds like it's at least a week for Kevin Durant, and what that means for the Phoenix Suns and their playoff lives, trying to catch the Sacramento Kings and or Dallas Mavericks, two games back of them. It could get messy out there in Phoenix, but the here and now is you're not contending with Kevin Durant tomorrow night. Have not checked the latest injury report. We'll do that a little bit later on the show to see who else are we dealing with here in terms of injuries for the Phoenix Suns. But you have that first and foremost tomorrow. And there's, oh, by the way, a big subplot to that game against the Phoenix Suns, who are coached by Mike Budenholzer. And you already had that first instance of the Bucks going against Bud. It's going to be much different. You don't need me to tell you that. When he comes back to Milwaukee tomorrow night and the reception that he gets. So there's that subplot. But there's no Kevin Durant. The last I saw, Bradley Beal was questionable as he's still working through a hamstring issue. So you may be catching the Suns team without Beal, without KD. Then you have the Philadelphia 76ers on the road on Thursday night. And it is a Philadelphia 76ers team that have effectively accepted the mission and understand what the assignment is. They just lost to the Toronto Raptors, which basically guarantees the Sixers are going to finish below the Raptors, and they may finish below the Brooklyn Nets.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, so the point we were making before, no Kevin Durant tomorrow. Maybe no Bradley Beal. 76ers, you're certainly not going to face Joel Embiid. You're not going to see Paul George. Who knows beyond that? But Philadelphia is actively trying to lose games to preserve that first-round pick, which is top six protected. So right now they have the fifth worst record in the league. The lottery means everything is still on the table here. But Philadelphia has no interest in winning that game on Thursday night. Saturday night, you have the Miami Heat, who right now are 33-41, tied with the Chicago Bulls in the 9-10 spot in the play-in tournament. Miami have now won four straight games, but it was a 9-game losing streak before that. They're in the same spot as you are. They have certainly not been playing their best basketball. They've made a lot of wholesale changes to that group in terms of their roster and pieces they're still trying to fit in. Going back to that Jimmy Butler trade, the fourth game in that four-game win streak was tonight as they beat the Washington Wizards 120-94. By the way, no Chris Middleton in that game. But it's a Heat team that they didn't have all their pieces in this game tonight either. Who knows where that's going to stand once we get to the weekend. And that brings us to Sunday night against the New Orleans Pelicans, where, as we just learned, there will be no Zion Williamson in that game. So as bleak as it has looked at times, and especially during this four-game losing streak and these last 13 games overall, you still have a schedule that sits in front of you that gives you an opportunity to take care of business in these games. And again, as few as three wins in your final eight games doesn't guarantee the sixth seed, but it essentially walls it off, and it puts a ton of pressure on the Atlanta Hawks to say, look, you guys can only lose one game from here on out. Those final two games of the season against the Detroit Pistons are going to be the most important games of the season for the Bucks. Or I suppose maybe they're not. You know, as we've said many times, even before this four-game losing streak and before this 4-9 record in their last 13 games, I don't know that the seed line really matters for this Bucks team. I don't know that there's really a wholesale difference between finishing fifth or sixth, if that is in fact where it is. And You know, by the way, the Indiana Pacers just won once again tonight, beating the Sacramento Kings. So Indiana is 44-31 now on the season. You're 40-34. You're four back in the win column, three back in the loss column with eight to play. If we just said four games with the tiebreaker, that's still a lot to make up in eight games. Three to make up, even with a tiebreaker in eight games, it's not that far behind. So that's why we say, look, maybe the four seed is gone and you're focused on, are you five versus six? That's where I come back to, I don't know that it matters. If you play the Pacers or the New York Knicks in the first round of the playoffs, it's easy to look at that record against the New York Knicks and say, well, how can you say that? They're 0-3 against the Knicks. Look at the first two losses against the Knicks. I still think the way that this team is constructed, and especially with the moves that they made at the trade deadline, I think you're in a much better spot to defend the New York Knicks potentially than you are against the Indiana Pacers. But, you know, especially the new look to this team and the pieces that they added with a Kyle Kuzma. The fact that, as you know, we've said many times, I don't think we should assume that Damian Lillard is going to be able to return this season. You have to adopt the mindset that Damian Lillard's not going to be here for the foreseeable future, for the rest of the season. Let's just adopt that mentality and say, we got to win the first round series without Dame. We get to the second round, we're going to have to win a second round series without Dame. I do think with that assumption, the way the Bucks roster is constructed, you have some pretty good matchups against the Knicks. I think you certainly feel much better in the backcourt defensively when you have a guy like Ryan Rollins, who, look, a young guy really going through his first taste of the playoffs, it's going to be challenging to make sure you don't pick up fouls against a player like a Jalen Brunson. But you get a lot of defense out there, and you have more switchability with Giannis, with Kyle Kuzma, with Torian Prince. So I do think, and these are famous last words, I don't necessarily hate the matchup with the New York Knicks, if that is what you draw in the first round. But health is going to be the biggest part for this team. And again, having said that, assume there's no Damian Lillard, but after that, Bobby Portis. I do think both the Pacers and the Knicks, those are good series for Bobby Portis. We're going to get a chance to see Bobby Portis with this group 1 week from tomorrow when the suspension finally ends and Bobby Portis is back for the final four games of the regular season. And then it's going to be important to just see, okay, with these new looks, I know there was a handful of games after the trade deadline and leading up to the All-Star break where you did get a chance to see Bobby Portis play next to Kyle Kuzma. But you really got to lean into that and see, okay, with the new pieces, how does this fit? How do we blend in the new with the old? Hopefully, Jericho Sims is able to return in time for the first round of the playoffs as well. It seems like it's a formality. He's not going to return in the regular season, but that week you get off in between the regular season ending, if you're not in the play-in tournament, that is, and the postseason beginning, that's where I think the assumption is Jericho Sims is going to be healed and ready to go by then. So you start to get pieces back. I think the biggest thing is, okay, you can't lose anybody else from here on out. We got to stay healthy. Giannis at this point needs four more games, I believe it is, to qualify for the individual awards. Of the eight games you have left, that's the other interesting thing to track of how many of those games do we see Giannis in. And by the way, he's probable for the game tomorrow. AJ Green is questionable. But what it comes down to is your role players. And I do want to get into that discussion. I do want to get back to tomorrow's matchup with the Phoenix Suns and what it's going to be like. You know, you've already seen them once, but it's going to be different tomorrow when Mike Budenholzer is in the arena and is standing on the sidelines and looks up to the rafters and sees that banner hanging. 2021 NBA champions, the Milwaukee Bucks, and can point to, hey, I did that. I was a part of that. And what the reception is going to be like. The overall tenor of the day for Mike Budenholzer and Bucks fans tomorrow. I do want to get into that conversation later on in the show, but I mentioned the role players are going to be important from here on out, and especially when you get into the playoffs. Why that is, And who specifically, or what are we looking for when you say, hey, your role players are going to be big? What are some of those performances that were the big ones you got along the way that, hey, we're going to need this player to replicate this, or we're going to need this guy to replicate that? We'll dig into those comps coming up after this on Bucks Weekly.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
All right, so the role players that are going to be important for the Bucks and why that is. Look, I think it's pretty clear. When you watch that game, not only last night against the Hawks, but these past few games that the Bucks have had, and you know, especially this losing streak, teams are. And look, this is easier said than done. We should always preface with that, but teams are more than willing to say, "Look, we'll pack the paint if this is the construction of the Bucks." We're just going to pack the paint and say, look, if Giannis gets through three guys and scores, so be it. We are willing to live with open shots to Taurean Prince, to Kyle Kuzma, certainly. Ryan Rollins is going to get his fair share of open looks. You name it, up and down the roster. When you look at this team, that's the approach that teams are going to have in the postseason. What that means for the Bucks, and look, let's say you get the Pacers in the first round. Bucks went 3-1 against the Pacers this season. That one loss, as it's been well documented, came on a 4-point play in the final 3 seconds of the game. We've seen the Pacers say, we're going to pack the paint. And I hate the build the wall reference because there's only a handful of teams that can actually do that. And, you know, interestingly enough, as much as I said, look, I don't really hate the matchup with the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks are one of those teams when you look at personnel that they have. Because, you know, it's good to have a guy like Onyeka Okongwu, for example. He has always defended Giannis relatively well throughout his career. He has that size. He's not a seven-footer. Quinn Snyder said yesterday, Onyeka Okongwu is 6'8". I think he's a little bigger than 6'8", but Onyeka Okongwu is a very athletic, stout defender with good length. He's done pretty well against Giannis. Pretty similar to Jonathan Isaac of the Orlando Magic, but it's not always bigs necessarily. You think about the Memphis Grizzlies and guys like Desmond Bane when he gets put on him. We've seen, you know, Marcus Smart back in the day was a guy that had success. Drew Holiday last year in those matchups with the Boston Celtics. If you're stout, if you're a guard that can move your feet, you got that acreage where Giannis just can't easily blow through you like he does everyone else. Those are the guys that give Giannis a little bit of fits. The Knicks have a handful of those guys. When you think about OG Anunoby, not the stoutness, but just moves his feet pretty well, has good defensive acumen. Good wingspan. Mikal Bridges, another one of those names. Karl Anthony Towns is really a traffic cone, but it's another body you can throw out there at Giannis. Pacers are different, right? When you think about Aaron Nesmith. Last 2 years, we've seen Aaron Nesmith take on that matchup. Pascal Siakam is another guy we've seen thrown out there. So the Pacers can start to do that and say, look, we're going to build up a wall here and throw big bodies at Giannis. And just make it difficult for him. If he scores 30 points, we want him to take 20, 25 shots to get there and work to get those points. Now, he's done that in the matchups against Indiana this season. But once you get to the playoffs and a little more physicality, in theory, is allowed, half-court offense becomes all the more important. The Bucks role players are going to be incredibly important in this postseason run. And again, especially if you don't have Damian Lillard. But what you're really going to need, and I've said this a number of times throughout the last couple weeks, especially, you know, once you made that trade that sent Chris Middleton to the Washington Wizards and brought on Kyle Kuzma, and not just Kuz, but it brought you Jericho Sims, it brought you Kevin Porter Jr., you went from being this top heavy, you know, three-headed monster, big three approach with Giannis and Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton, where you knew the offense is coming from that trio. With Chris Middleton gone and moving and shifting towards a, we want to be more balanced. We have Giannis, we have Damian Lillard. Right now you got Giannis, but that's what we're living with. It's important to have a consistent third scorer. And, you know, by consistent, I don't mean it's got to be the same guy every single game, every single night. It means consistently you have to have a third guy. When you look through the list of guys, you know, you look back to last night's loss to the Atlanta Hawks. And by the numbers, it could be deceiving. Kyle Kuzma had 25 points. Kevin Porter Jr. had 28 points and had a 20-point fourth quarter. You were starting to get what you were looking for there. Giannis had 31, by the way. That's, in theory, what you're looking for. The defense was the issue. And a lot of that offense, outside of Kevin Porter Jr. and his 20 points in the fourth quarter, a lot of that came early when the Bucks were doing all the right things, as Doc Rivers said. They're moving the ball. They're creating good looks. Touching paint. That's the biggest thing with this team. Just get into the paint. Get those paint touches. Force the defense to collapse, kick it out to open shooters, or Giannis or Brook Lopez finish around the rim. That's the big part with this team. You had three consistent scores last night. It didn't get you the win. But again, there's a lot of caveats that took place with that. Your defense, the biggest part. You need to find a handful of guys that consistently, one of them is going to give you that performance. And depending on how banged up this Bucks team is, Bobby Portis, when he returns, is certainly the guy you would assume you're going to lean on a lot for that role. We've seen those moments in the fourth, not just last night, but you've seen those start to populate more and more from Kevin Porter Jr., and he's certainly capable of becoming a microwave scorer and taking over. Gary Trent Jr. is another guy who didn't have the greatest shooting night last night, 1 of 6 from three, but he's really started to find that comfort once again in that shooting stroke, 10 points. He's consistently been in double figures. Gary Trent Jr. is another guy. You feel like we can lean on him here. A Torian Prince. We just mentioned the open looks that guys are likely to get in the postseason because these defenses, if Damian Lillard is not in there, are going to be geared up to say, all right, Giannis, you're not getting it. It's got to be somebody else. It's got to be Ryan Rollins or Torian Prince. Kyle Kuzma, too, for that matter. But what you really need is a Grayson Allen performance against the Chicago Bulls, you know, 2 years ago. When you think about how much of a heater Grayson Allen was on in that series, those are the performances that you're going to need in this playoff run. Bryn Forbes against the Miami Heat, you know, maybe the biggest ones, most attainable, most achievable for this Bucks team. Or you think back to the 2019 playoffs and the roles that George Hill and Pat Connaughton played for the Bucks in that playoff run. Timely shots that they knocked down, defense that they brought. Pat Connaughton and what he continues to do. And by the way, some really good minutes last night from Pat Connaughton, who, you know, as we mentioned, paint touches being the most important thing for this offense. Doc Rivers talked about this before the game last night. You know, a lot of the things that this offense has been missing lately, the intangibles, those are the things that Pat Connaughton does. And that's the game that Pat Connaughton brings to us. At this point, of all the guys on the roster, Pat Connaughton also has the best connection and chemistry with Giannis. So I do think there's a role for Pat Connaughton in the playoffs, and especially if this team is banged up. But again, it's those Grayson Allen types of performances. He had 14 threes in that first-round series against the Chicago Bulls. He was the fourth leading scorer for the Bucks in that series. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, third. He scored 65 points. Brook Lopez scored 66 points. Giannis feasted. You know, he doubled up basically everyone in a Bucks uniform in that series with 143 points through those five games. But it was the Grayson Allen performance, especially once Chris Middleton went down. That's what you need from this group. Grayson Allen, Bryn Forbes, what he did in the run to the championship. Those are the things you're looking for from your role players here in the playoffs. And we just mentioned a number of guys that are certainly capable of giving you that. Bobby Portis and what he's going to bring to this team. And it's not just the scoring for Bobby Portis. Bucks have been getting hammered on the glass of late here. Bobby Portis is certainly one that's going to fix that. I shouldn't say fix, but change it and move that in the right direction, because none of this, scoring from Giannis, impact from your role players, overall shooting, it either doesn't matter or it's severely offset if you're not fixing the work on the defensive glass. Doc Rivers said it before the game yesterday. You know, one of the things that I always kept that Red Auerbach told me when I was coaching the Boston Celtics, get the ball, don't give up the ball. Get your defensive rebounds. Don't limit or don't allow those offensive rebounds to the opposition. Get defensive rebounds. Don't turn the ball over. And those are unfortunately two things the Bucks have had quite a bit of late. We'll take a closer look at some of those rebounding numbers without Bobby Portis. But as I mentioned, it's going to be an interesting one tomorrow inside of Fiserv Forum. The Bucks' second game this season against their former head coach, Mike Budenholzer. And the way the season started in Phoenix, I don't know that any of us envisioned the Suns being in the position they are currently in. So it sets up for a desperate matchup for both of these teams and an interesting one filled with emotions tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum when Bud makes his return to Milwaukee. We'll take a closer look at that coming up after this on Bucks Weekly.
The hardwood homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
All right, tomorrow night, Mike Budenholzer makes his return to Milwaukee as the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. To say it's been an interesting year for the Suns, it's been an interesting couple of years for the Phoenix Suns, but to say it's been an interesting year for him and for Bud, and I mean even Bradley Beal, when you think back to those rumors leading up to the deadline, everybody fretting over, are the Bucks really going to trade for Bradley Beal here? It's been a season to forget. And I mean, as much as I hate comparing yourself to others, I've seen a lot of doom and gloom in Bucks discourse that's out there for the past 48 hours, really. Look, I get it. You're on a four-game losing streak. The loss last night, it was not pretty. There were a lot of breakdowns. There were a lot of things that we, frankly, hadn't seen since the first 10 games of the season. You're 4-9 in your last 13 games. You've seen the Indiana Pacers, as mentioned, win again tonight, surpass you. They've been a much different team since January 1st. They have one of the best records in the league, but I mean, especially since that loss to the Bucks in Milwaukee, what, 2.5 weeks ago? They've lost one other game since then. Pacers have been playing extremely well. Pistons have been playing extremely well. They are still a game and a half in front of you. So I get where all that doom and gloom is coming from. And as much as I hate to do this, what I would say is, look, yeah, it hasn't gone as expected of late. But look at a couple of other scenarios. Philadelphia 76ers and the expectations and optimism that were placed on that team coming into the season. You signed Joel Embiid to an extension in the offseason. You won the offseason. You signed Paul George to a 4-year max contract. You reshaped your roster on the fly. And there were a few of us that said, look, and with the New York Knicks too, to be fair, look, we saw this happen in Milwaukee last year where maybe you didn't reshape your roster quite as much as Philadelphia did. You brought in a new piece, a big piece that changed the identity of the team and how you play. It's not NBA 2K. You know, it's not just fire up the console and let's go. Nothing's changed. You flip the switch and this team's off and running. It takes time to develop chemistry, to learn tendencies. Philadelphia never had it this season because of the injuries and everything else. That's been the case for the Phoenix Suns for a couple of years, and they haven't had it on a number of levels. There are some pretty steady rumors that continue to pick up some momentum here that maybe Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Suns, makes a coaching change once again this summer, which remarkably would be the third consecutive offseason the Phoenix Suns made a coaching change, if that is in fact the case. I just want to point this out. The Phoenix Suns started the season 8-1. And you go back to the first, what, 2.5 weeks of the season, and all the chatter that was out there of, well, the Bucks are 2-8 and the Suns are 8-1. Like, this is, who couldn't have seen this coming? An 8-1 start. They've gone 27-39 since then. Nothing has worked in Phoenix. They're 12-25 on the road. That right there is the biggest reason. Kevin Durant injury aside, whether or not Bradley Beal plays tomorrow, you know, we've talked about the Bucks 16-20 road record, which again is not good enough. And at best, the Bucks can finish the season 500 on the road with four road games remaining. But 16-20 is very different from 12-25. That right there shows you, if you can't win on the road to those levels, you're not a trustworthy team. And knowing those road struggles, coupled with the injuries they're dealing with, you'll never hear me utter must win, but this is as close as you get. This is a need to win situation tomorrow for the Bucks. But the big story with tomorrow is going to be Bud and his return to Milwaukee. As I mentioned, it was a week ago tomorrow that the Bucks, a week ago today, actually, last Monday, that the Bucks faced Mike Budenholzer for the first time since he was their coach. And it was interesting because if you caught any of what Bud had to say, what was conspicuous by its absence was any real Bucks-related questions. You know, one of the local Phoenix reporters asked him about the emotions of facing the Bucks. And we got a typical Bud answer out of that of, you know, essentially, I don't want to answer that. You know, I appreciate the question, but as he even joked, the players on my team, they don't care about my time in Milwaukee. And out of respect to them in this game, I'd rather focus on winning this game. And you thought, okay. I heard rumblings that the reason why you only heard that one question coming from a Phoenix reporter and you didn't hear some recognizable voices like Jim Ozarski or Eric Name or anybody else in the broadcast crew that was out there in Phoenix was because the Suns media relations team did not give them the microphone to ask a question. It is still the media relations team for road games that decides who gets called on to ask questions. So I am curious if that's the same approach tomorrow night, but it's going to be tougher to avoid because whereas in Phoenix, there were two beat reporters and three, four TV and radio broadcast individuals in that press conference. Tomorrow, just to peel the curtain back. So, you know, I think it's apropos with today being opening day, and this isn't a slight or a knock on our local media here. But, you know, for those tentpole events days, you'll have a much larger contingency of media. You'll send every single, you know, TV station out there. Every radio station is getting coverage out there with their hosts and producers of, let's go to opening day. Let's get some audio. Let's ask them some questions. You get the same thing on media day for the Bucks. You get the same thing during the playoffs. You'll typically get the same thing if there's a big storyline or there's a big matchup. Nikola Jokic is in town. The Lakers and LeBron James are in town. Things of that nature. You're certainly going to get that when the former head coach of the Bucks and one of two head coaches to lead the Bucks to a championship is in town. So there is going to be not just the beat reporters. There's going to be more reporters that cover the team. There's going to be more broadcast people from TV, from radio. It's going to be tougher to avoid. I would assume Bud is going to get an overwhelmingly positive reception when he is announced as the head coach of the Phoenix Suns tomorrow. But it's a less than ideal situation for Bud to be coming back to Milwaukee at this point. And, you know, he's not the guy to reflect, as we've learned in his tenure here with the Bucks or during his tenure with the Bucks. But it's especially challenging to do that when your team is fighting for their playoff lives. So I am going to be curious how much Bud is willing to give us tomorrow, because unless we see the same approach, and look, if you're not a Suns reporter, we're not giving you the mic to ask a question. Who knows? Maybe that's what we see, but it's going to be tough to dodge those questions. We'll take a look at the NBA scoreboard. I mentioned the Indiana Pacers won tonight. That's really only the notable game to keep an eye on for the Bucks. There is a notable game for the Phoenix Suns. It included the Indiana Pacers, but there's another one that's going on as well. We'll catch up to speed on those scores after this on Bucks Weekly.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, some final scores to catch you up on here tonight. I mentioned the Indiana Pacers do it again. They beat the Sacramento Kings, so they give the Phoenix Suns some help. 24 points from that name we brought up before, a noted Giannis defender, Aaron Nesmith. Pacers are now 44-31 on the season. Magic lose. They lose to the Los Angeles Clippers 96-87. So Orlando is now well behind the Atlanta Hawks, two back in the loss column with the results of this one in the race for the seventh seed. The Miami Heat won, as we mentioned. They've now won four straight games, beating the Washington Wizards. And by the way, no Chris Middleton in that one. A.J. Johnson did play and start once again, went 3 of 9 in 37 minutes and scored 8 points. And the other one of importance for the Phoenix Suns is in Dallas, where right now the Mavericks are leading the Brooklyn Nets 65-61. They just started the second half in that game. But as we stand here now, the Suns are still on the outside looking in. Just one back now in the loss column of the Sacramento Kings. And depending on what happens in Dallas, they could be one back of the Mavs as well. So, look, everything Phoenix is dealing with, as bad as they've been on the road this season, that's a game they definitely win tomorrow. We'll get you set for tomorrow night against the Suns and wrap things up after this on Bucks Weekly.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
Another thing to point out, I mentioned the Pelicans shut down Zion Williamson for the remainder of the season. We did not mention the name of CJ McCollum, who was also shut down. So a very, very shorthanded New Orleans Pelicans team that you are going to draw. Bucks have still not clinched a playoff or postseason spot either, for that matter. But we've seen four teams already eliminated in the Eastern Conference. So the only team that's on the outside looking in that has a chance to get into the play-in tournament right now is the Toronto Raptors. They're still 6 games back of the Bulls in the loss column, though that's about to change. The Bulls are getting throttled by the Thunder as we speak, but still 5 games back with 7 left to play for the Raptors. So it's only a matter of time. Tomorrow night, the Bucks and the Phoenix Suns from Fiserv Forum. Bucks look to end the 4-game losing streak and do it against the old friend Mike Budenholzer. 6:30 tip time tomorrow. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.